This was a trade deadline in the middle of a pandemic. The international border is closed, or at least there are restrictions on moves back and forth across the border. Was it any more, was this a more difficult or more nuanced trade deadline than maybe others you have been involved in?
Yeah, probably for the Canadian teams, it's a bit of a challenge, to say the least, when the players will have to quarantine if we trade between the U.S. teams and we're living in the protocol and getting tested every day. Going by car or private plane, there's no quarantine, but there's no getting around that in Canada, I hear. So I think it's a week for Nick Foligno before he can join his new team. So that itself is a challenge, especially if you would be battling for a playoff spot and not to have that player in your lineup for a week. You could miss four games in this crazy schedule that we're on. But I think Toronto's pretty safe there in the first place. So, yeah, a little bit different, but not that much different for the business otherwise.
Yarmo, when it's always a tough decision when you got to trade your captain, trade a guy who means as much to the organization and the community as Nick Foligno does in Columbus. When did you have kind of your first conversation with him about what you might want to do at the deadline and where he might want to go?
Well, we talked about this openly in the off season already, where we knew that he was going into the last year of his contract, and we talked about a lot of different things, and if the season didn't go the way we wanted, this could be a possibility. And then when it didn't go as we had planned, and it was disappointing, and we were kind of out of the playoff picture, and we went for it 2 years ago and spent some assets doing it, and we felt that this was the right time for the organization for a reload and get some of those assets back, and we did, and some more. So Nick was well aware of the process. I kept him in the loop the whole time. I told him I'd be as transparent as I could. And in the final stages before we made the trade, I talked to him about what his first choice would be, and we got lucky that he was excited about Toronto and it was the best choice for our franchise.
When you do that, Yarmo, how much, because you talked about the need for transparency, and clearly you want to be transparent with the player, but I don't know if you'd necessarily want to be transparent with the teams you're talking to. How hard is it to kind of keep that under wraps? Or at this day and age, Yarmo, with agents involved and guys kind of having an idea, an overall idea of what teams want, is that less of an issue? In other words, do you have to hold your cards less close to the vest than you might otherwise have to?
Well, this is a different situation from any normal trade that goes down. This was our captain, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for him and how he handled his business. I wanted to show that respect for him too by being transparent and keep him in the loop. Not until the last moments before we had worked out everything that these teams that were interested in Nick Foligno were willing to pay, did we go to him and say, okay, what will be your first choice here, and which team are you excited about, and which order would you put them, or whatever our conversations were. It was in the last stages when we had already negotiated the trade with the teams, and had, everybody had their chance to make their best offer. Like I said, it was a good situation because it ended up being the best deal for us and ended up making Nicky very excited about it. So, at the end of the day, we always still have to do the best job that we can for the franchise. That's what our job is. So as much as we want to be transparent and make sure that we talk to our captain to make sure that he can go to the destination that he's excited about, it could have been a situation where it was not possible, and he was fine with it. He's a pro. He understands the business and knows what the risks are. But, all good at the end, and he's very excited to join the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, it's great when it works out. I'm interested when you discuss talk about the process there, Yarmo. So when you finally go back to him, you went back to Nick at the end and said, here are the options. Does that mean did you have other offers on the table that you could have or would have accepted with other teams?
Toronto was the best offer, so it was easy. There was no difficulty there. Let's say that there was a tie, and then I would have taken Nicky's input and considered that and made the decision. And like I said, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him, and I would have definitely listened to his input very carefully before we made our decision.
Yarmo, what's for the Leaf fans here? What's Toronto getting in Nick Foligno?
Well, they're getting a heart and soul guy who comes to play every night, every shift, and leaves everything on the ice. And he's a great guy. He's a good teammate. He's a good leader, and just an overall great human being. He's fun to be around, and he's got high expectations for himself and for the team, and he's a winner. So it's good to have guys like that. He's tough and he battles, and he's made for playoff hockey. He's strong. He's going to be a great addition for him.
Yarmo, you've collected a lot of draft picks in the trades that you made. This is a year, we just found out today that the Memorial Cup will not be played. Is it difficult to scout players this year, or more difficult to have an idea of what you will be looking at because of the pandemic, or have we advanced enough in terms of analytics and video work and all that, that you can still get a pretty good handle on what a player is about?
Well, we've definitely advanced. There's no question about it. We have all kinds of different tools that we can use to help us navigate through this process, but it's a challenge. There's no question about it. Ontario League hasn't played at all. There's always a lot of great players coming out of that league for the NHL draft. So, we're going to rely on our underage reports right now and hopefully get to see those guys play live or on video this year. And it's tough on the kids, too. They're gearing up for their draft year and want to show their development, want to show where they're at, and want to get drafted. And pretty tough when you haven't played any games. But, we do the best we can. We put them in order, and I think the luxury that we have now as an organization is that we can use those picks in many different ways. We can use them to take the picks, or we can use them in trades. And I think there will be plenty this summer with the flat cap and the expansion draft coming up.
Would you think that because of the fact that the junior league in Ontario hasn't been able to play and there's been such a disruption, would that open the door for maybe even more European picks this year, guys who have played in various leagues in other countries? Or do you think, the first round is going to be the first round regardless?
Well, I think that the way that all the teams in this league have the coverage right now, I think we have a pretty good idea, even from the underage reports, of which guys are the top guys. And there's still the World Under 18 coming up. They're talking about some kind of a prospect tournament along or after the combine, and there's going to be ways to evaluate these players. NHL's going to make sure, I'm sure the players' union will want to make sure that everybody gets a chance to show where they belong in the draft, and then the scouts do the work, and we'll put the list together and go accordingly. But it is a challenge. There's no question about it. There could be some guys with less exposure that will slip later into the draft that may have been very high had they played the whole season, and that can create some opportunities as well.